to Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. We will look specifically to verses 14 to 16. You'll find this in your pew Bibles on page 1242. Ephesians chapter 2, to verses 11 to 22. This is the Word of God. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. Thus far the reading of God's Word. Heavenly Father, we pray, would you help us to understand these amazing verses, and show to us the truth about this new life in Christ. For Father, we pray that you would help us to understand the cross better tonight. Transform us and teach us by your mouth. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, when we come to the Bible, and you're perhaps used to reading the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, I'm sure you've noticed that there's a big change after Malachi to Matthew. In the Old Testament, it seems to be all about Israel. And then you come to the New Testament, and in the beginning it's about Israel, but then soon the gospel begins to spread around the world. Now, how do these two come together? In the Old Testament, for a great portion of the Old Testament, God seems to be concerned with Israel. And in the New Testament, this kingdom begins to spread around the world. So how do we put the two together? Now, central to this question is, of course, this question: who are the people of God? Who belongs to God? Now, if we were to ask a first century Jew, who are the people of God, which is really why it was written in that time, and you would ask the Jew, what are the people of God? You say, well, as you know, for thousands of years, the Israelites have been God's special people, his peculiar people. It's the nation of Israel, the physical offspring of Abraham. That is the people of God. And so if you are, but not only for Abraham, you must be an offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and then through Jacob, through Israel. That's the nation of Israel. That is God's people. And you can recognize us because we are the covenanted people of God. We were there at Mount Sinai, and he made a covenant promise to us on that mountain, and we are the people of God. Now, if you have that, and I'm sure this is nothing new to you, because this is pretty much the whole Old Testament, all the prophets emphasize this, that those who are God's people will be blessed beyond other nations and be cursed if they disobey beyond other nations. And now Paul, also a first century Jew, comes to us and writes us these words that we find in our text. In other words, what he's saying, he says, well, Jews and Gentiles, that is, non-Jews, are God's people through Jesus Christ. Not the physical children of Abraham, but the children of faith of Abraham, right? With the argument that God may, or that the Apostle Paul makes in Romans, those who believe there. And those who walk by faith as Abraham walked by faith. And as John says, not by blood, nor by the will of the flesh, nor by the will of man, but of God. And so you can imagine what this first century Jew would respond to Paul. He's saying it's not just to Jews, it's to everyone who believes in Christ. It's not about being connected to Abraham, but it's about being connected to Jesus Christ. And so the question must have been, how can you possibly say that Gentiles, non-Jewish people, are part of the people of God? They aren't even circumcised. They don't even follow the laws of Moses. How can he possibly be God's people? Do you want to cast the law of Moses away? Do you want to throw it out the window and say all of that? The Mount Sinai is just gone. It's just up in the wind. We don't care about it anymore. Is that what you say? You say that was a different God? Should we stop making sacrifices for our sins that God has told us to do? Besides, the prophets are adamant that Israel, the people of God, should never mingle with other nations. They're not supposed to marry with other nations. How many times did God send punishment because they intermarried with other nations? Even in the temple, there was a physical barrier for Gentiles not to go beyond, to go into the actual temple, because that was not their place. The temple was Jewish territory. It was Israel, the people of God. They were supposed to go to the temple, yet the Gentiles' court, who wanted to be somewhat close to the God of Israel, but they had to stay at a distance. Paul, how can you possibly say that to Gentiles, write this letter to Gentiles, that they're children of God, that they're the elect, that they're chosen in God, predestined to be the sons of God? Have you gone out of your mind? What has happened? Now, all these things would be true, what he said, not that he's gone out of his mind, but all these things of the Old Testament would be true. Now, how is it possible that Paul can write to non-Jews, to you and me, to be clear, and say, in Christ you are the people of God? We find Paul's response in our text, and he says it's the threefold work of Christ. Paul simply points to the cross. Do you see that? He says the reason why any Gentile can come into the people of God is because of the cross. The cross has changed it all. That's why it's right there at the beginning of the gospel. Every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, works towards the cross. The main event seems to be this last week of Christ, because that changes it all. He says, at the cross, the doors were opened for the Gentiles, for those who are not born of the physical offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but whoever believes in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so tonight, we will see that the cross changed it all, that it opens the doors to every nation, tribe, and tongue, to everyone who comes to God. The doors are wide open. For he broke the wall, point one. Point two, he created one new man. And point three, he reconciled us to God. So if you haven't been here much, keep your Bibles at hand, because we will look at the Bible, because that's our text. That's our authority. So keep an eye close to the Bible and focus in on the words that the texts bring to us. We begin to Ephesians 2, 14 and the first part of 15. For he himself, that's Christ, is our peace, who has made both one, see that both, and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. Paul says Jesus has become our peace. Who is our? It's kind of important to know, isn't it? Well, then he says, for he has made us both one. Who is both? Well, it's two groups. Well, what has he been saying? He's been saying, you and us, you and us, you and us. Do you remember that, the first two chapters? You, us, you, us. Now he says, he has made us both one. What is he saying? The Jews and the Gentiles have been brought together in Christ, and they have become one new people. Now, how has that happened? Because there was a great division between the two. Right? God would judge the other nations, and he would guard Israel. But then when Israel would sin, he would punish them, but not to annihilation, because they were his people. And now he says, well, this wall has been taken away, and God has brought the two together. There are no longer two kinds of people, but one new people. One new people. In heaven, there's not two camps. There is one in Christ. We are all one people. So Paul tells us that the ancient wall has been broken down. What is the ancient wall? What changes here with Christ? How are these doors open? What's this ancient wall that was put up between the Jews and the Gentiles that would separate the two? Well, it was the wall that kept the Gentiles out. It was that which separated God's people from the other nations. It was the dividing wall that separated the Jews from the rest, that made them the peculiar people. Paul tells us in the text what it was, what that wall was. Did you notice that? It's the law of commandments expressed in ordinances. That's a mouthful. What broke down? What is Paul speaking about? You see, this question is vital to our own lives. Does this mean that the Old Testament we get rid of and we just hold on to the New Testament? Well, I wouldn't stand here this morning reading the Ten Commandments to you. Heard what has happened? Well, he's broken down the wall. Has he abolished the law? Has he broken it down in such a way that God does no longer care if we live according to the law or not? Or has the law just completely disappeared? Does God no longer care if we steal or lie or murder? That's an important question, isn't it? That's a very vital question. Well, we must ask ourselves this. What did Jesus break down on the cross? What separated the Gentiles from the Jews? Well, first of all, the Gentiles were not allowed to steal, lie, or murder in the Old Covenant either. God judged them for it. There was never a time where God allowed other people to murder. He didn't say, well, you're my people, you're not allowed to murder. But the other people, they can murder. That was never the case. So by saying that this dividing wall is broken doesn't mean that now you can just do whatever you want. There's a specific thing that he has destroyed. Do you see that? He has broken the dividing wall, that which separated, that which made the Jews on one side and the people of God and the Gentiles on the other side. But I think Paul is talking about two things. First of all, I think for people that lived at that time, they would know this physical court of the Gentiles. Right? The Gentiles were not allowed to go into the temple of God. They didn't have the rights to go in. The Jewish people had the right to go into the temple by birth, and if they were a priest, they would go in the holy place or even the most holy place, but the Gentiles were not allowed to go into the temple. And Paul says, God, through Jesus Christ, has broken that away. He has opened a door to go into the presence of God. I think in practical laws that has been broken down, it's the laws that Christ has fulfilled. What has Christ fulfilled? The sacrifices for sin, for free will offerings, for blood. All these sacrifices were part of the center, what made the Jewish people stand aside, because they would sin in the same way. They would sin as the other nations did, but they could go to God and bring sacrifices to God. Other Gentiles could not go and bring the same sacrifices to God in their own place. You see, that's what separated the Jews from the Gentiles. Because the Gentiles were not allowed to go into the temple. If you and I lived at that time, we had no way to get our sins forgiven. That's what Paul is saying. you could bring 100 cows or bulls to the temple gate, but you couldn't get in. You know what Jesus has done? He has taken every sacrifice away. And he stood there by himself. In other words, he has become the great sacrifice. He has said, I will bring the sacrifice in my own blood, which means that I can choose whoever I want to bring in. No longer the offspring of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but through me there is salvation. And by the way, all those sacrifices only pointed forward towards Christ. They were all the shadows, the pictures, so you can understand and see what happened. But really, the reality is Christ upon the cross. The whole temple, all its symbols and all its parts all point to Christ. Every single thing that they had to make according to the pattern that God showed to Moses, all those things explain the work of Christ. If you remember that we went through John, or we're still going for a while, if you remember, what did Jesus say to the woman? There is a time that it doesn't matter whether you worship here or there, but God seeks those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. Why? This is the temple made by God. Christ Himself has come. The shadow is drawn away, and Christ now stands in full glory, having brought the sacrifice, the eternal sacrifice, as the perfect priest and the unblemished Lamb of God. He has come. And so the temple, the old picture, the old model, can be stored away. You see, there are some people who are builders in this house, in this building today. Now, I don't know if you still do that, but I think if you have a great building project, they make little miniature models, right? But are you going to just stand at that model and just be amazed at that model to the end of time? No, of course not. It's the picture of what the real is to become. And perhaps you store it away as a remembrance, but once the real has come, that's the essence, and that's what's Christ has done. The temple with all its symbols and all its power, where God would dwell, that place has now been Christ. That's why we don't go to a temple. That's why we don't go to a holy place or a most holy place physically in one place on earth. Because as soon as you pray in the name of Christ, you enter the most holy place. You see, prayer, it's not a light matter, my brothers and sisters. It's communion with the eternal God. It's speaking with the one from everlasting through the precious blood of Christ. Entering into the most holy place that has been broken out. You see, the temple is the place where you are to meet God. But the temple was the shadow. Christ has come, and Christ is not limited to some location upon the earth, but by His Holy Spirit, He reaches all men around the earth. Whoever believes in Christ will be saved. You see what has been broken down. Now, that's glorious for Jews and Gentiles. For even the Jews, they don't have to go to the temple. If they believe in Christ, they can be at home and they don't have to bring a sacrifice every year. They have Christ who died for their sins. And so the hostility between we are God's people and you're not is gone, because it's no longer I am God's people because I'm part of this nation. I'm going to fight my borders. I'm going to protect the nation of God. It has now become I'm a child of God through faith. I have received forgiveness and I'm going to spread the gospel. Because maybe you hate me now, but maybe when I share the gospel, you're going to love me tomorrow. Even if you don't love me, I'm willing to die for your life because Christ died for my life. Jesus Christ brought the ultimate sacrifice and tore down the wall. That's why Paul never writes us to go to the temple once a year. Because we go to Christ. We meet with the Lord Himself. It's astonishing, isn't it? We Gentiles, outsiders, have been brought near into the household of God. You see, the old covenant with its sacrifices was for Jews, but Jesus Christ died for sinners. And those are in every nation. Sinners are everywhere. Isn't that amazing? That every great place you have to be in this world, you have to have some kind of position or power or bank account to get into these great places. In order to get into the kingdom of God, you need to be a sinner. Because if you come and you come to Christ as a sinner, you will no wise be cast out. Beloved, the wall has been broken down. Jesus has fully satisfied the demands of righteousness. We're not second-rank citizens. We're not right behind the Jewish people. We're also not ahead of the Jewish people. We've become one people. Do you see that? What I must say is Jewish people who are true Jews, who believe in their Messiah, we've been made one with them. Jesus Christ, in the new covenant, there's no longer a separation, but He has been brought together, all who believe in Christ. Gentiles are no longer on the back seat, but they're fully adopted into the household of God. My beloved people, if you understand this, we must praise the Lord. For Jesus Christ has brought the kingdom of God to the people through the cross, and He has made a new covenant with every tribe, nation, and tongue. Whoever calls upon His name, he will be saved. Isn't that amazing? With all the sins that you have done, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you will be saved. If you've called upon the Lord with all the sins you have done, you have been saved. Set free, brought into this eternal kingdom of God. That's glorious, isn't it? No longer a temporary earthly kingdom that has been ruled as the old Israel was by a king. And sometimes the king would walk badly and God would punish the nations and send it into exile. And sometimes they walk well and be blessing for a while. But then you have a bad king and it would go worse. We have received the new king. Let me tell you this, this king never has a bad day. For He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Christ Jesus Himself, the perfect Son of God, has become the King over His people. And whenever He calls upon His Father is always right by His side because He never does anything that displeases the Father. Now that's a king. Secondly, He created one new man. Oh, that we would understand this truth. If we would understand this truth in the church, there'd be no bickering and fighting, but humble adoration of our great God. And this says that in 15b, that the purpose coming, that He might create in Himself one new man in the place of two, so making peace. God sending Christ, dying for all sinners, by His redemptive work has brought all together to live in peace. Oh, that we would understand that. What it means to live in peace through Christ. Not to fight, but to be at peace with one another. He has brought the two together and He made one new people. Do you see that? A people of faith, a people who belong to the kingdom of God, Jews and Gentiles, together in God's household. My dear friends, every culture has its own mistakes. I've traveled in a few countries and you'll find different cultural differences and difficulties with the Word of God. But I think in the West, one thing is quite clear. Our individualism is just beyond belief. And so when we come to a verse like this, we have been brought one people. We don't understand it. We just move on. One people. Okay, great. Next. No, my friends. What it means that you've been made one people means that you are now together. that you live in the happy, joyful kingdom of God, where you love one another, you support one another, you strengthen one another, and you are as one people in the Lord. Isn't that glorious? Oh, that I were living more like that. See, it's easy to preach and to say something, but to live is sometimes quite a different story, isn't it? Oh, that we would learn what it means to be one people. Sometimes when I go to my wife's country, which is Korea, you go in and sometimes you have this conversation, well, isn't the uncle very unkind? Isn't that person somewhat unkind? But why do you just overlay the person with gifts? Why are you always kind to him, even when he is unkind to you? She said, well, it's family. Wow. I mean, it's family, but still, I mean, you can shove them to the side. No. It's family. We don't know that, do we? Somebody is unkind or unpleasant, we just keep them to the side. We have lost that in a way. I think the Lord has been working since the time I came here. The Lord, I have seen, not since I came, but I have seen that when I came in, the Lord has been bringing a people together that love one another. That's the work of Christ. He makes one new people. And there'll be one day when we're going to the kingdom of God and see Christ face to face, we'll see people from every tribe, nation, and tongue who will then all speak the language that we understand. And we'll love them. And we'll see the glory that God has given them to glorify God. Oh, that we would live more like that on this earth, isn't it? Now, why does Paul, and I need to say this, why does Paul use the word created? You see, in some places, they would say that, well, God first had one plan, the old covenant, that didn't work out, so then he has a new plan, that they're completely disconnected. And so the old covenant, people that were saved in the old covenant, they're in one part of heaven, they're the friends of the bridegroom, and then the people in the new covenant, they are the bride himself. And so they say, here he used created, like a new thing he made. And my dear friends, obviously the way I set it up is not quite fair to the statement, because I obviously show already that I don't agree with this. But I think if you would read chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, let me read it to you. The 3, verse 8 and 9, Ephesians. To me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to bring to light for everyone what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things. What does Paul say? What you see in the New Testament was the plan all along. It didn't just come up as plan B. He knew that from the beginning. That's why Paul starts Ephesians 1. Before the world began, he chose. He is making one people. I mean, if you can still hold that Israelites, believers in the Old Testament, believers in the New Testament, are two different people, you clearly haven't read our text tonight, where he makes the two one people. So Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are our brothers, part of the same household. David, I'm not sure if I'll ever not be looking at Christ and just glorify him, but when you glorify, after I met Christ for billions of years, I do want to speak to David and just taste some of the sweetness that he laid in the Psalms of his love for God. Right? And Abraham, his faith, and all these men who walked with the Lord, they have become one people. And so this new creation is not a new plan. It's the unfolding of the fullness of the original plan. It's one plan from Genesis all the way to Revelation. God is unfolding it in steps so we can follow. But he's unfolding his great plan. And Christ is the conclusion, the purpose, the goal of it all. Now look carefully how Paul describes this work. He abolished the law, in verse 15, so that he might create in himself one new man. In himself. You see those words? God's ultimate plan from the beginning is that we would all be united in Jesus Christ, that we would all connect to Jesus Christ. Abraham, my friends, was saved by Jesus Christ. There was mercy for Noah in his day because of Jesus Christ. They were all brought in Christ, so that Christ is the head over all, and that all glory would go to Christ. That's been the purpose from the very beginning. That we should all become God's children through Jesus Christ, so that we would all share in His righteousness, in His holiness, when we come to God. There is no blessing in the Christian life outside of Jesus Christ. That's why a true Christian always longs to hear more of Christ, because something inside him says, I want to know Christ more. I want to see Him more. I want to love Him more. I want to walk with Him more. Why? Because he has been united with Christ. And the love of Christ has filled his heart. You see, the whole law was pointing forward to union with Christ. Every sacrifice pointed towards Christ. The temple with all its utensils pointed to Jesus Christ. The Jewish people were preserved for the coming of Jesus Christ. The law was given so that Jesus Christ would fulfill it, so that everyone who was under law and everyone who were outside of the law would receive perfect righteousness through Jesus Christ by faith. You see, in the Old Covenant, you had the Jews, the wall, and the Gentiles. Under the Old Covenant, we could not be reconciled to God, for there was the barrier between Israel and the rest of the world. Well, we could be, I guess, if we would become part of the people of God, if we would be implanted into the nation of Israel, but that was very rare. They had God's law. They had God's contract of loyalty, the law. But they broke it, and they were punished. And so both sides of the law were in trouble. Do you see that? The Gentiles were in trouble because they had neglected God and ran the other way. The Jews were in trouble because they had received God's law but could not keep it and broke away, fell away. Here comes the new covenant. Here comes Jesus Christ. He breaks down the wall and brings both together through His work on the cross. And so He makes one new man, and He says, I'm not going to have two men. I'm going to come myself, and everyone who comes to me will be saved. Who is the one new man? Jesus Christ. That's what Paul has been saying all along. That's why he says, in Him, through in Him, in Him, by Him, in Him. He's not repetitive. He doesn't write one verse a day, and every day he said, I should really write in Him. He's writing one letter, and he's emphasizing why. Because there is one new man that is saved before God. All who are in Christ. You see that? That's why he says in Him. Because the one new man is Christ, Son of God. That's why you're adopted as children of God. Why? Because Jesus is the Son of God. If you're under Him, if you're in Him, you're in the same relationship with God. A son relationship, a sonship. Now, how do we know if we're in this one new man? Right? It's all wonderful truth. But how do we become part of the people of God in this sense? Well, it's the man of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. David was a man of faith. Isaac was a man of faith. That's what he's after. You see that? That's why he said in chapter 1, when you believed in him, the man of faith. It's a person who lives by faith, a person who walks with God through His Word. He is a new kind of person, a person who follows God and trusts upon Him. Dear friends, have you become a man of faith, a woman of faith. You see, that's the path that's spoken about in the book of Acts. That's what goes through the whole gospel and through the Old Testament as well. Do you believe in God? Do you walk not by sight, but by faith? Do you rely upon God? Do you walk in this world with God? You see, have you been transformed by the power of God to become a Christian, one who is in Christ? I love the examples that Christ gives, isn't it? How often does Christ say, well, if you want to know my followers, it's quite easy. They look like me. They walk like me. They bear my fruit. Why? Quite simple. They have the seed of Christ in them. They walk to Christ. They look to Christ. And they begin to walk like Christ. And so faith is really the essence. Faith is what brings a Jewish person to heaven. And faith is what brings a Gentile to heaven. That's the whole book of Romans is about faith. By faith, we come to God. Now, we've spoken many times that God needs to help us with this faith. He needs to give us this faith. But at the same time, the Bible commands us to believe. Because it is when we believe that we begin to believe and that God has been working this belief in us all the time. Because it is God's gift, and yet whoever believes upon the Lord will be saved. God is in charge of the details, isn't He? And so, beloved, this is not theory. This is actual life. That's why Paul says, He has become our peace. Did you read that? We are no longer at war with God. Our conscience is no longer striking fear into our hearts because God is going to judge us. But through Christ, we have been brought into a peaceful relationship. We are now at peace with God. So, brothers and sisters, do you walk in peace with God? Has your conscience been cleared before God? That your sins have been forgiven? You don't have to be special. You don't have to do anything but to believe. Now, when you believe, you will do many things. But belief is the essence. Belief makes the Christian. Come, my friends. Do not stay on the threshold, but enter into the household of God by faith. Jesus has paid your sins by His blood. So, we must come to this last point. He reconciled us to God. And verse 16, and He might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. This is Paul's great point. On the cross, Jesus Christ has united His people. Why? Because on the one hand, the Jews could not be saved, even though they had the law. And the Gentiles, without the law, could not be saved. And still there was hostility. They both needed help. Do you see that? They both needed a Savior. And their hostility was one had the law, the other ones didn't. But the fact of the matter was, without the law or with the law, they both needed a Savior. And Jesus Christ has killed that hostility because He has made one way of salvation to those who were under the law and to those who did not have the law. You see, He brought Jews to God by fulfilling the law, so that every Jew who believes in Jesus Christ receives a perfect record of the law. Every believing Jew is not only a child of God in the flesh, but adopted as an eternal son. He's reconciled to God to enjoy the benefits of His sonship forever. And then at the same time, He has brought Gentiles into the people of God through adoption. At the same time, Gentiles were brought in. They were outsiders of the blessing of God, strangers to the Creator of the universe. But He has united us with Himself and brought us into the kingdom of God. And even though we didn't have the law, you fulfill the perfect righteousness of God and brings it to us. Do you see that? He brings one way of salvation to bring Jewish people who believe in Christ in, and Gentile people who believe in Christ. And he says, I have one way. And because there is one way of salvation, you have now become one people in Christ Jesus. And so, beloved, in Christ we have become the holy nation of God. That's why the old covenant is our old covenant. We've been brought into the same. The law is still the law. But it's very different, isn't it? Because we don't try to hold it up by our own power, by our own strength. We have now received the Holy Spirit. And we see the law of God and we realize that law of God has a witness in my heart. My heart desires the same thing as the law. I don't only just don't want to kill. I don't want to hate. There's something inside me that makes me restless when I get upset with somebody. There's something wrong. I want to get this poison out of me. We're no longer at odds with the will of God. We are now been reshaped, remade into the image of Christ. And now our desire is to do the things of God. You see, the law is not our enemy. If you say, when you read, you must love your neighbor, and you say, oh, that just bothers me that I need to love my neighbor, you have not been made anew in Christ. You see, the law has not been abolished because it's God's will in that sense, but it's been abolished as the dividing factor between Jews and Gentiles because Christ has made the way. So, dear friends, we have been made one in Christ. And we must all come to Christ and have come, many of us have come to Christ by faith in the Son of God. That's for Jewish people. That's for Gentiles. Abraham needed to believe. We must believe. But the hostility is gone. And so Christ has become our perfect peace, has become our everlasting Savior, has become the one who has united us all. Now, practical application. Love your neighbor as yourself, because you have received everything you have by grace. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, these mysteries are beyond our understanding. But we praise you that you have become our peace and have destroyed any hostility in your kingdom through the gracious gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that we might live according to your word, that we might live in peace as we walk in the love of Christ. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.